Well, hello and welcome to Between the Sundays. This is a conversation designed to extend what's happening on Sundays at Generations Church into the week. And so I'm thankful that you're tuning in, whether you're listening to the audio podcast or you're joining us on YouTube. Thanks for taking the time. And today I'm joined by Pastor Aaron White and by Pastor Trevor Hindman, who is the newest member of our staff. And so excited to kind of introduce you or give you a chance to introduce yourself to those that may not know you. But we've also done some restructuring with Trevor's hire. So both of you now serve as executive pastors. You are the executive pastor of ministries, Pastor Aaron. You are the executive pastor over administration, kind of operations and administration. So you help facilitate kind of the support structure of the church, the facilities, and anything that kind of comes out of this building moving towards ministry outside the building. And then you help to oversee the ministries that happen primarily inside the building. And there's some overlap in a few things, but I'm really excited about that structure because I think with our existing staff team, it really helps set us up to be more effective in caring for people, serving people. You know, obviously we've talked a lot about it. It's not the only thing we talk about, but we do talk about it a lot. Like the growth of our church in the last 6 or 8 months has been crazy, and it's so exciting. But we wanted to make sure that we were structured well to serve people and to make sure that people were cared for in a really, really great way, and what our heart was to do that. And the restructuring and your hire was a huge part of that. And so I'm excited for both of you guys to be a part of this today. We've had a lot going on the last few weeks, and then we've got a lot of things coming up the next few weeks. So I'd love to just kind of start maybe with where we're at right now, some of the Sundays. We've been in a series the last 2 weeks called The Road to Easter. It's setting us up for Easter, obviously. Yeah. It's in the name, but Easter's at the end of the month of March. And so we wanted to
way too early.
Yeah, it's really early. But we wanted to take like 4 weeks and really prepare our hearts for it, but also look at the events that led towards Easter. So we're not taking them chronologically, but the first week of the series, so 2 Sundays ago, we talked about the significance of the Last Supper. And then this past Sunday, we looked at some events coming out of the Last Supper and moving towards the trial of Christ. And so I'd love to just maybe start with that 2 weeks ago, that significance of the Last Supper. Maybe I'll start with you, Trevor, and then we'll go to Aaron. But just some takeaways from that day, some things that maybe you heard in the lobby. Like, what was the discussion and conversation that we want to extend here?
Yeah, I think for me, like, listening to people talk about it is, you know, really getting people mentally prepared that, like, oh, Easter's this month. Like, it does seem really early this year. I'm still not sure I understand why Easter lands where it lands in the calendar every year. But the idea that it's really preparing our heart for what God did through Jesus on Easter.
That's great.
And so, you know, people hearing that and thinking through the idea of that Last Supper. And I know, you know, we'll spend some time on Easter weekend and with the Good Friday service, you know, looking at in more detail some of the aspects that took place through the resurrection, through the death of Jesus and leading up to that.
Right.
But really just spending the time in this month preparing our hearts for what God did.
Yeah.
I just heard a lot of people being really excited about, you know, mentally thinking about and preparing their heart for what God's going to do in their individual lives this month.
That's good. Yeah, I agree.
I think in the first week, one of the things that I took away from one thing that you said is when Jesus was born, there wasn't a place for him.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, it says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So like the correlation of like, he didn't have a place when he was born.
Yeah.
He was born in a manger. There wasn't a room available for him. So he didn't have a room. But then he was saying at the end of it, I'm going to make a place for
you.
I thought that was a, you know, from one point as I heard that sermon on that first week of that of Road to Easter, that was one thing I was like, man, I never even thought of that. Yeah. Like I never made that connection that he didn't have a place. But then he was like, hey, I'll be back. I'm going to make a place for you in the Passover.
Well, and even
Last Supper.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, even the idea of there was like kind of three parts of that. It was like there was no room for him in the inn, right? At the beginning in his birth. And then he told the disciples, like, go, and there's going to be a guy that's already set up a room for us to eat in. And then he says, you know, hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you, talking about eternity. And so I do think, like, just showing that, like, there was no room for him, that was important because he had to be born as an outsider.
Yeah.
Like, he had to be, like, common folk. Like, he couldn't have had, like, a private room at the hospital. You know what I'm saying? Like, it had to be an outsider so that it's set up, and it was also a fulfillment of the prophecies.
Yeah.
But then, like, just to see, like, God ordaining his steps in ministry and in life with the disciples, how that Last Supper was significant. There needed to be a place for that because of the place and the role that he was playing as the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
And then to say, like, hey, this is not all there is. Like, I'm going. This is a part of a larger story. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So I agree. I think that was something as I was reading it that week.
Yeah.
That was so important. I had a guy text me through the week, one of our elders. He said, you know, I had never really seen in the passage until you read it that it said Jesus told the disciples, I've been eager to eat this meal with you. Mm-hmm. You know, even though the meal represented his suffering, even though the meal represented his brokenness, like he said, I've been eagerly awaiting this moment.
Yeah.
And I do just think, man, sometimes we again, dehumanize the Christ on earth and even kind of take away the emotions of God the Father. But for Christ to say, like, man, I've had anticipation to spend time with you unpacking something you're not going to be able to understand. I just think that's important. I think
how
that's great.
How often do we forget, like, God wants to spend time
that's
with
exactly
us.
Right.
He wants
that's
to spend
exactly
time,
right.
like, in relationship with us.
That's right.
And so often it's like, you know, I don't want to go to God with, you know, with my small things or, you know, I don't make a ton of time, but God, like, wants to spend time with us. And we forget that so often.
Yeah.
And if we knew that, if I knew every day, like, my kids want to spend time.
That's
with
right.
me. My kids eagerly wait. My kids wait at the window
right.
as I leave. Like, God is waiting on
That's
us
right.
to approach him.
Yeah.
And so we need to, I think it challenges me to, like, how eager am I?
Yeah,
like,
that's good.
How eager are we to spend time with God?
That's good.
Yeah, I think my favorite element of the Last Supper is obviously, I mean, you have, there's so many dynamics taking place. You've got guys arguing over who's the favorite and who's the best and things like that. But, like, you know, as Jesus is spending his last meal, like, Judas is in the room.
That's
like,
right.
And we can't forget the fact of, like, as much as he wanted to be there, he still wanted that guy in the room with him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't know that I have that kind of heart that I would have been like, okay, you know, who do I want to eat my Last Supper with?
Yeah.
Here's the guy that's going to, you know, betray me. I don't think I'd want him there yet. Jesus, like, he still washed his feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He still that's loved good. Him. He still fed him and, you know, had communion with Judas at that
well,
meal.
Well, isn't, and it also, I always come back to this anytime I think about that, because it's so easy for us to point at Judas and go, he's a betrayer. We are the betrayer.
100%.
I mean, it's not 30 pieces of silver, but what little things, inconsequential things, do we choose over Christ?
100%.
You know, and yet he invites us to his table.
Yeah.
He,
every
he's
time.
He's eager to spend that meal and that time. And I think it was a beautiful picture. This last week, we looked at just kind of the events coming out of the Last Supper. We talked about, you know, Christ in the garden praying, the disciples there in Gethsemane. We talked about Judas showing back up with, you know, kind of this mob. And it was like the arrest. And then we saw him kind of on trial before the high priest and on trial before Pilate.
Mm-hmm.
And then even Peter walking behind and the denials. So we looked at a lot of different snapshots and scenes. But really, all of those were to try to show, like, all of us have moments of decision. I called them trials, but, like, all of us have moments of decision to choose to do right or to choose to do wrong. And so we looked at each of those snapshots and how did Christ respond? How did Peter respond? How did Judas respond? How did the disciples respond? To really confront in all of us as we prepare for Easter, like, how do we respond in moments of choosing right and wrong? And, you know, just kind of thoughts or takeaways from this past Sunday to extend the conversation.
Yeah, I think two takeaways that I had is at the beginning of the message, you said that Jesus understands how we feel.
Hmm.
And it's like Jesus carried his cross. Jesus, you know, died on the cross for our sins. Like, he wasn't guilty, but he went on the cross for us. Like, but Jesus understand. Jesus lived on this earth, so he understands like the feeling, the grief you talked about. Like, he understands how we feel.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was one big point in the beginning of the message. But in the middle of the message, you talked about Peter and the disciples praying, Jesus going to pray, and the disciples, you know, continually falling asleep three times. One thing that you said in that is sometimes we feel like we have to come to God with all these different prayers, but Jesus three times in a row went away and prayed the same prayer.
Yeah.
And how freeing that is. Yeah. Like, I don't have to make up all these words. Like, I don't have to babble on.
Right.
Like, it says in scripture, like, I can just come to Jesus, even if it's the same prayer over and over, even if it's Jesus help. And every time I'm praying, it's like, Jesus help.
Yeah.
I need help. I need, like, I can just come to him and not have to worry about all the words, but just say the same prayer three times like Jesus did. He said that exact same prayer three times. So.
Well, and even the third time he went to pray, it says, and he went away and prayed the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even where it gave different words the first and second time, I just love that, like, it was like, hey, and he prayed the same thing. Like, he didn't make anything else up. And I did say to, you know, our congregation, what had spoken to me so loudly that week was, you know, like what you just said, like we don't have to have like invent new words and come up with new things. Like we really can just cry out to God what's in our heart.
Yeah.
Like Lord, I would choose not to suffer, mm-hmm. but I submit my will to yours. Yeah. You know, if there's any way. And I think I probably got as much feedback Sunday on that part of the message, mm-hmm. you know, of people just saying like, man, that was so freeing to me. Like prayer mm-hmm. is still something I'm working on. Prayer is still something I'm trying to make a natural part of the rhythm of my day. And so for you to say like, hey, you don't have to make it complicated. It's not mm-hmm. so it's a conversation between God. And sometimes you may repeat the same things, mm-hmm. but you do it out of the right heart. I do think that that's a huge part of this. Like Jesus modeled prayer for us. And mm-hmm. I think that's important.
I think that's the beauty of memorizing scripture. Yeah. I think that's mm-hmm. why that's important in our lives. I think you look at things like the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like when you don't know what to pray, just pray our Father who is in heaven, right. hallowed be. Like, and we can just get into that rhythm of life that like, I don't think it's a bad thing that if I pray that prayer every day
mm-hmm.
and to get into, you know, Jesus modeled for us, like it's okay to pray the same prayers. Like I loved the aspect of that story of the disciples sleeping.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, the reality is like they were supposed to be there for him, yet they weren't. Like it was another moment that they could have probably been better.
Sure.
But yet there they are just down there asleep as Jesus is praying and crying out to God. Like how many times in my life am I supposed to be doing something yet mm-hmm. I'm just kind of dozing off on the That's side good. And just the personal challenge that I felt Sunday through that aspect of the service of, you know, it's okay. Jesus wasn't angry at them
yeah.
mm-hmm. yet. He's still like, guys, like wake up. Like yeah. mm-hmm. I need you to be here with me because I'm in a trial right now.
That's good. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what you were saying about like even memorizing scripture and the Lord's Prayer, like about a month and a half ago, Corey and I had the opportunity to be in a service that was much more what we would categorize as liturgical.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. there was like a form of worship. Now we have a liturgy. We do the same number of songs and then we may extend moments. So there's this balance for us of being Pentecostal, kind of charismatic, and like believing that like we can follow in a moment what we feel the Lord leading us to do. But in the service we were in that day, like it was very specifically spelled out. We mm-hmm. sing this song, we say this prayer, we sing this song, we say this prayer, we read this passage of scripture, we say another prayer, we sing this song, we go home.
Mm.
And while it was totally different than what our normal experience is here on a Sunday,
yeah.
I was confronted and I told Corey, we were doing a form of worship or that
that's
order
right.
of worship that's been done for hundreds and hundreds yeah, of years in that too. Specific type of church.
Yeah.
So, you know, every fifth Sunday of the year, that's the order of service for that fifth Sunday or, yeah. you know, vice versa. And so, or like on and on, like every Sunday or every time they gather, it has a liturgy there. I do think there's something powerful about recognizing that like God, we can approach God, you know, mm-hmm. in a lot of different ways
mm-hmm.
and He's not bound by the things we're bound by. I prayed that Sunday as well, like Isaiah 55, like his ways are higher than our ways. Mm-hmm. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Like, you know, we're learning how to come to God and there's a lot of different ways that you approach him. We don't box him in to say, this is the only way to get to God or this is the only way to experience God. I love the charismatic and Pentecostal experiences to say like, we're going to linger in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be more expressive in worship. We're going to respond in prayer. We're going to open the altars and let people receive prayer every single Sunday. But I also love that sometimes we're just praying the scriptures right back to God.
Yeah.
We're just saying, God, I'm coming to you in this form, in this way, because it's the only thing I know how to say. Mm-hmm. Or this is what your son Jesus did. I want to follow that example and believe that you can speak to me in that. I think that's a powerful expression. So mm-hmm. It's been a really great series thus far. We're two weeks in. We've got a few more weeks. And so I'm excited to kind of, again, use this series, kind of what you said at the beginning, to really prepare our hearts for Easter, not just show up on Easter Sunday like, oh, it's Easter. Like, I really hope that what we're doing in these 4 weeks is genuinely preparing for it. Like, Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying in these passages of scripture that help me to be prepared for a celebration, a reflection on the cross, and the celebration of the resurrection of your son, Jesus? And so I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about Easter weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot, which is so great, but we've got six different opportunities across that weekend to worship together. Maybe talk to us about, like, come to the table, the Good Friday event. Just talk, you know, briefly about what that's going to look like and how people can be a part of that.
So on Good Friday, Friday, March 29th at 5 and 6:30 p.m. Is our Good Friday service, which we call Come to the Table. It honestly is one of my favorite things that we do each year. It's so impactful. It's an intimate kind of hands-on experience.
Yeah.
You have worship. You have a couple different stories in the Bible that kind of point you to Jesus and point you to the cross. You have something at your table that you're able to write on, and everything kind of has something that you can physically experience.
Yeah.
But it's just a powerful time of worship and diving in the Word and seeking God and pointing towards Easter. So you sit around tables, friends and family or strangers, and we take communion together.
Yeah.
It really is a powerful time. So 5 and 6:30, that's Good Friday service that we would love for you to be at.
And we're just asking people to reserve their seats. Yeah. They can just go on the website to do that, just so that we can be prepared.
Yeah, G.Church, the events, register you and your family, invite friends.
Yeah.
It really is a powerful time. And then Easter on Sunday, you have 7 a.m. sunrise service, one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
7 a.m. sunrise service outside.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the cold in the morning, bring a blanket. But it's going to be a great time. We're going to worship. We're going to hear a word from Pastor Jeremy. But that's going to be a great one. And then identical services at 8:15, 9:30, and 11 inside.
That's right.
So you're back in the heat.
You don't have to bring blankets for that necessarily.
We'll have coffee outside for sure, too. But it's really going to be a great weekend as we celebrate Easter and we celebrate the fact that Jesus is risen. But then we also, at Good Friday, we kind of get in that mindset and feel and sense what Jesus went through.
That's good.
And look at that and kind of feel that, you know, in our hearts and feel and look to that.
Yeah.
But then also know with the hope that
Sunday's coming,
Jesus is risen. So it's a celebration, but it's a great time for you and your family. We have childcare for nursery and preschool upstairs for Good Friday, for our services on Sunday morning, not the sunrise, but for our three identical services, we'll have G-Kids. They got a great day
planned for G-Kids. Yeah, birth through fifth grade. That's going to be great.
They've been doing this egg outreach thing that I'm excited about, where they've been egging people's houses, inviting
them to church. Throwing actual eggs at their house, right?
Gotta clarify that.
Let's clarify that.
My teenagers would be like, we want to get in on that. Yeah. We want to egg people's houses for the church.
Been taking eggs, plastic eggs with candy in them, and one of the eggs is empty because it represents the empty tomb, and inviting them to Easter. So we just got a full weekend of great things planned as we celebrate Easter.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's always a great weekend, a great Sunday, a great opportunity to celebrate with our church family. It does fall this year at the beginning of spring break. So I know a lot of families will be traveling. My hope is that if you are traveling for spring break or, you know, whatever, that you'll find one of those opportunities to gather with us before you get out of town. Or you'll join us online. Or again, if you're going to the beach or you're going somewhere, it's like you'll plug into a church there and not just miss the opportunity. I think there's something important about being in church on Easter, you know.
And
so that's an exciting time. One of the other things that's coming up, Pastor Trevor, is we've got our March Madness event on Saturday, March 23rd. So we're getting really close, pretty close to that event. Just talk to us about kind of our hopes for that and you know, what we want to accomplish that night.
Yeah, the hope for that event is that it's an opportunity for men to come, to connect. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Sure.
We're going to eat some good barbecue. I think Williamson Brothers is catering.
Let's go.
And so, you know, it's going to be a ton of fun. But then we're also really hoping that people and men will show up and really plan to just plug in and get connected more, grow in their relationship with God. Pastor J.C. Worley from Go Church is coming to speak and to bring the word that night. And I know he's going to do a fantastic job.
Yeah.
But then really coming out of that event, like, don't let it just be a one-time moment of, like, I showed up, checked a box, I went to a church thing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But really, like, let it be the jumping platform off of that really launches you into jump into a G group, jump into community, jump into, you know, get plugged in, hear more at the church, go through discovery track, things like that.
It's great.
To really let it be the stepping stone that gets you to where, like, you're really starting to build community.
It's great. Well, I think, you know, sometimes it's very difficult for men to, you know, I say, like, connect to one another. You know, we kind of, I think we got some incredible men in our church that actually do a great job of this.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, categorically kind of just painting with a broad brush, like, guys are like, you know, I don't want to connect, or I don't want to talk, or I don't want to be vulnerable. That's not necessarily, like, the primary purpose of the night of, like, being, we're not going to sit around in a circle and sing Kumbaya and share
not an affirmation circle.
Yeah, it's not that.
No, we're going to yell at each other
that's
about
basketball.
Yeah.
But there is something really special about being in a room together with other men.
There is.
And to feel like, you know what, I'm not alone in this. Like, you know, women have their struggles and their things. But, man, being a man, when you really are pursuing God and trying to, like, be a good guy, you know, like, providing for your family, you know, even if you're not the only income of your family, like, even if they're both working, like, for a man to feel like, hey, I'm doing my best to provide for my family financially, security, protection. You know, if you're a father or a grandfather, like, to just help set, like, the legacy of faith for your children and your grandchildren. Yeah. So I hope that people will come. The guys will come. They'll invite some friends to come with them because we are going to have a ton of fun.
Absolutely.
I love to have fun. So if we're going to get together, we're going to have a good time doing it. We're going to eat some good food. Yes, you know,
and exactly we set up a March Madness bracket through.
We did. We set up a March Madness bracket. So we'll do that. We'll give away some prizes for the guys that are even, you know, picking the right teams and stuff. But I really do hope that guys will come because I think there's an important aspect of this. It's like, let's just get connected to one another. You know, let's learn each other's names so when we see each other around church or even in the community, you know. I mean, buddy, you know. Yeah. But last night, you know, our kids play sports at one of the local high schools, and I showed up to one of the games, got to talk to a couple of people and families that were there. Then I showed up to the other game because our other son was playing a different game at a different time. So I walked up. I got there a little late. I mean, I just kind of walked up, and I hugged a couple of the guys that – their kids are on that team, but they also go to our church.
Yeah.
And there's just a community of 6 or 8 or 10 of us that it's like, hey, we get to see each other outside of church, but like we're still in this together.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so I'm thankful for some of those guys and just the guys in my life. And hopefully an event like this is a part of, you know, helping form that for everybody that's part of our church.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. There's a lot of great things coming, but I'm thankful for our conversation today just to extend the conversations from the Sundays and then look ahead and see what's coming. So thanks to you guys for being a part of that. Thanks to you for watching and listening. And hopefully you'll join us in person if you're in the local community and be with us at Generations Church on a Sunday and join into the different events and ministries we have. If you're not in the local area, but you happen to watch this online and you're a part of kind of our extended family online, we'd love to have you continue to join us you know, online as you can. But until next time, for Between the Sundays, God bless. Have a great week.